And if you have your Bible this morning and want to share the word of the Lord with me, the scriptures that the Lord has laid upon my heart, turn with me this morning over to the book of Psalms. And we're going to be reading this morning from Psalms chapter 40. And we're going to start with verse 1 and go down through verse 3. So Psalms chapter 40, verse 1 through verse number 3. The psalmist writes, and he says to us in verse number 1 of that 40th chapter, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear or reverence the Lord and shall trust in the Lord. And I'm going to stop reading right there. Just ask if you will bow your heads this morning and let's pray and ask the Lord for his help and for his anointing to minister his word. Father, of my own self, I openly confess that I am incapable. Of my own self, I can do nothing. But I look to you this morning to make me an able minister of your word. I pray that you would put your thoughts into my mind, put your words into my mouth. Give me liberty in the house of the Lord this morning to speak freely the word of the living God. Ordain what flows through these lips of clay today. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will open our hearts to recognize and realize that your word is forever settled and it is forever truth. And I ask this morning, Lord, that you would be among us, even in the ministering of the word, and that you would glorify your wonderful name, that you would edify those that will hear this message, both here in this house and those that listen by way of the internet. I just pray, Father, that you will honor yourself, enable me, quicken me, give me divine capability this morning. Give me the unction of the Holy Spirit to speak with power. And for all of these things, Lord, we will be grateful and we ask them this morning in the mighty and honorable name of your Son, Jesus, our Savior. And everyone in agreement said amen. I want to title what I feel like the Lord has laid upon my heart this morning. I want to title it, What's Written in the Pit. What's written in the pit? The text that we have read together this morning is a psalm of praise. The psalmist, having been delivered, he is declaring the mighty works of the living God. He is praising God for divine intervention into his life. He's saying here in these verses, I was in trouble. I was in need. And he's saying, I did not have the power to save myself. I did not have the power to rescue myself. He declares, I found myself, and he uses it as an allegory. But he says, I found myself as if I were in a horrible pit. He says, my feet were mired down in the clay. And literally, if you look into the Hebrew and the Arabic in which that it was written, literally it means that he is confessing that he was mired down in the mud and the muck of corruption. He said, I had no way out. I had no one to rescue me. I could not rescue myself. I did not have the power to save myself. And like quicksand, he said, my feet were just dragging me down, and I was sinking lower and lower and lower into the pit. When I read these scriptures, I could not help but sense the desperation and the helplessness with which the psalmist writes. I could not help but imagine the desperation and the helplessness that he must have sensed and that he must have felt in his life as he found himself in this condition. But the Spirit of the Lord began to speak to me. And how many of you know that, amen, life will offer us the same kind of challenges? How many of you here this morning have ever found yourself in what seemed like a horrible pit? How many of you have ever found yourself in a situation or a circumstance that you could not remove yourself from? And like quicksand, like the psalmist, you just seem like you were sinking lower and lower and lower. And the more you struggled, the more you just sank into the miry clay. Maybe you're here this morning and you find yourself in that situation right now. I tell you this morning, life will often hand us pitfalls and snares. And all too often, amen, we find ourselves in the pit that the enemy has ensnared or prepared to ensnare us and to destroy us. The Spirit of the Lord began to speak to my heart concerning these words. And you may be wondering to yourself, Pastor Gary, what kind of pit are you talking about? Let me give you just a couple of examples. How about the inescapable pit of sin? How about the pit of despair and hopelessness? Whenever you find yourself in a situation or a circumstance that you cannot change, how about the pit of tests and trials that come to try our faith and to challenge our faith as we endeavor to live for Christ? This morning, the snare of the pit is often before us all. But let me just share with you this morning what the Spirit of the Lord placed upon my heart as I studied. Amen. Let me just tell you this morning that there are others that have gone before us. There are others that have gone before us. There are others that have walked this road. They found themselves, as the psalmist did, in a horrible pit. But they escaped from that pit. But they left the writing on the wall. They left an information for you and I on the wall, what's written in the pit. The Apostle Paul says of the Old Testament saints in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 11, the Apostle Paul says of the Old Testament saints, he said, now these things happened unto them for our example. And he goes on to say, and they are written for our admonition. They are written for our encouragement. They are written to inform us of how they were delivered. They are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world have come. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4. Amen. Paul said in verse number 4 of that 15th chapter, and I'm reading the God's Word translation, but he said, everything written long ago was written to teach us so that we might have confidence through endurance and encouragement which the Scripture gives us. In other words, everything that happened to them many years ago, they were written down for one purpose, to encourage us and to let us know that God was able to deliver them.
Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, Paul says, amen, wherefore seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run this race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Beloved, what he's saying is we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. There are others that have gone on, and there are others, amen, that are looking over heaven's balcony, amen, encouraging us as we run this race this morning, amen, and we find ourselves in a pit that the enemy has prepared for us. Just read the writing on the wall. Others have gone before us. Others have written their testimonies in the pits, like heavenly graffiti, like ancient hieroglyphics. Amen. They have written down their experiences, and they have written down their testimonies, and they have written down their encouraging words to encourage us and to encourage our hearts to rise up out of that pit of despair, rise up out of that pit of sin, rise up out of the pit of fiery trials, and believe God for deliverance. This morning, I want to read the writing on the wall. What's written in the pit? I want to read some writings, amen, on the walls of the pits this morning. The first pit that I want to talk about is the pit of sin. What's written in the pit of sin? What's written on the wall in the pit of sin? Let me share with you a story. There was a young man. Amen. The Bible says that this young man, you will find his story in Luke chapter 15. The Bible says that this young man comes to his father, and he says to his father, I want you to give me everything that I got coming to me. I want you to give me my inheritance. And the father, the Bible says, divided unto his sons their inheritance. And not shortly, amen, or not too long after that, shortly after that, the youngest of the two, the Bible says that he took his wealth and he took his inheritance and he left his father's home. Amen. Really, if you read between the lines, this young man was really saying, I'm tired of doing it your way. I'm tired of living under your rules. I'm tired of living under your household. I want to do it my way. How many of you know the Bible said there is a way that seems right unto men, but the end of the way thereof is death. Amen. I hear Frank Sinatra in the background. I did it my way. Well, let me just tell you something this morning. If you do it your way, you'll wind up lost. Amen. Hello? Amen. Because there is a way that seems right unto men. There is a way that seems like it's the right path. But I'm going to tell you something. The scripture goes on to say, but the end of that way is nothing but death and heartache. Amen. We need to do it God's way and not our way. Can you say amen? This young man, his attitude is, I want to do it my way. I'm tired of your rules. I'm tired of having your thumb on top of me. I'm going to do it, amen, the way I want to do it, and I am out of here. And he takes his inheritance, and he leaves his father's house. And the Bible goes on to tell in that story that through ungodly living, The King James Version says riotous, meaning squandering, ungodly living. He spends all of his inheritance and he winds up dead broke. And he winds up without anything. And the scripture said that there was a famine in the land and he had nothing to eat. He is alone. His way has brought him to destruction. And the scripture teaches us that he takes a job feeding swine. Now, if you know anything about the Jewish culture, you know that that's about as low as a man can go.
Amen. But he takes a job feeding swine. And the Bible said that he was so hungry that he would have gladly eat the husks, that the corn husks that the swine ate just to fill his belly. Now, I don't know about you, but it's been a very long time since I was hungry enough to belly up to a trough right beside a pig. Hello? Hello? Amen. But he was so hungry, the Bible said that he would have gladly done it. Amen. What happened? Amen. His way and his way of doing things led him to a pit of sin. It led him to destruction, and it led him, amen, separated from his father. Amen. But the Bible says, amen, that young man, and I love this, the Bible said, when he came to himself. I'm going to tell you something. There's a whole hour message right there in that one little phrase, when he came to himself. Because I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times we got to hit bottom before we ever really come to ourselves. But when you come to yourself, what happened? He recognized the error of his way. He recognized his foolishness. He recognized his sin. But he also recognized where he was. I'll tell you something this morning. Sin will leave you empty and longing for a change. Sin will leave you trapped and imprisoned. Sin will ensnare and entangle your life. Sin will leave you feeling guilty and condemned. And this young man found himself trapped in a pit of sin, living trapped by his own poor decisions. But thanks be unto God, that is not the end of the story. He left his testimony written on the wall of the pit to encourage you and I. And here's what he wrote. Amen. He wrote, he took me back and he called me his son, and he put a robe on my back and shoes on my feet and a ring on my finger. Signed, the prodigal son. Amen. If you're here this morning and you find yourself trapped by sin, or find yourself trapped in the pit of sin, I encourage you to read the writing on the wall. Amen. You don't have to stay there. You can be free. You can be cleansed. You can be washed. I'll tell you what was written on the wall of my sinful pit. Amen. Of the sinful pit of my past. Because there was a time when my heart was filled with sin. There was a time when I was heavy with condemnation, and there was a time when my sin separated me from God. But that's not the end of the story. Amen. The Bible declares, I waited patiently upon the Lord, and he inclined his heart unto me, and he brought me up out of a horrible pit, and he brought me up out of the miry clay. Amen. You want to know what's written on the sinful pit of my past? Amen. And here's what I write. Jesus saves, Jesus redeems, and the blood of Jesus Christ can make the vilest sinner clean. Hallelujah. Amen. And right under it, I would write, P.S. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes we need to just stop and find out what's written on the pit. Amen. And what's written on the wall of the pit, and recognize that it was written there for our admonishment, for our encouragement, and to encourage us that the same God that delivered them is the same God that can and will deliver us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you are here this morning and you have not invited Christ into your life and made him the Lord of your life, but you are longing for something more out of life, you find yourself in a pit of sin with a guilty heart and a heavy conscience. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning that the blood of Jesus Christ, the man who died upon Calvary's cross, can set you free, and free indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen. The second pit that the Spirit of God speaks to me about is the pit of despair. What's written on the wall of the pit of despair? Let me tell you another story. There was a young Jewish boy by the name of Daniel. Daniel, the Bible tells us that he was carried away into captivity into Babylon. He is ripped from his homeland and commanded to serve a foreign god. But Daniel refused to stop praying to Jehovah. Amen. The law had been passed that no one could pray to any other god except the king of Babylon. But Daniel couldn't help himself. He continued to pray to Jehovah. Three times a day, the scripture said that he opened his window toward Jerusalem and he would beseech God and he would bless the Lord and pray. And for his faithfulness unto God, he was thrown into a hungry den of lions. Because he refused to obey the king and obey God, he was thrown into a den of hungry lions. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but you talk about a pit of despair. That could be pretty discouraging. Can you say amen? I mean, we read these stories sometimes as if, amen, they are a fairy tale. They happened. Real men walk through these things. But thanks be unto God, Daniel may have been thrown into the lion's den. But in the morning, he walked out of the lion's den where he had slept with those massive carnivores. And he left his testimony upon the wall. He wrote his testimony on the pit of the wall as a memorial to encourage us. And here's what he said. This is my version. You won't find this in the King James or any other translation. But this is my version. I should have been kibbles and bits. I should have been a pile of kitty poo. Amen. But God shut the mouths of the lions and God allowed me to walk free. Can I tell you this morning that the same God that delivered Daniel, amen, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same God can deliver you. Hallelujah. Maybe you are here this morning and like Daniel, you are going through a situation in your life. Amen. You feel like you are in a pit of despair. I got good news. Daniel wasn't the only one that got out. Daniel wasn't the only one that got out. Let me just tell you what you might find on the other side written on the wall. We were trapped by the Red Sea and the Egyptian army closing in. And we didn't have any way out. But he parted the water and we walked across on dry ground. Signed Moses. Amen. How about this one found on the other side of the wall? He gave me twice as much in the end as I had in the beginning. Signed Job. Amen. I'm here to tell you today that God can do great and mighty things if we will allow him to. If you're here today and you are facing your own lions or facing your own Red Sea, be of good courage, because the same God that delivered them can deliver you. Amen. Let me go to one more pit, the pit of fiery trials. Fiery trials often seem as though that they will overcome us. But let me tell you what's written on the pit of the fiery trials. The fire had no power over us. Signed, the three Hebrew children. Amen. How many of you know the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 2, when thou passest through the waters, this is God speaking to us. When you pass through the waters, he said, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And when you walk through the midst of the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall a flame kindle upon you, for I am the Lord thy God. Amen. He
goes on to say in Isaiah 41 and 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed." Amen. "For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Hey, I'm here to tell you this morning, you're in the pit this morning, but you're not in the pit alone. Amen. Let me give you one more, that signature that you might find on the wall. Amen. On the other side of the wall, you might find this written: "The jailhouse rocked and the shackles fell off and the door swung open and we went free," signed Paul and Silas. You hear what I'm talking about today? What's written in the pit? I'm here to tell you what's written in the pit. Our God delivers, our God saves, and our God has the power to minister to your life. Now, what was the key to their deliverance? It's found in our text. It's found in our text. Look at verse number 1. This is what the psalmist said. This is what the psalmist said. He said, "I waited patiently for the Lord." Oh, we don't like that part. Anybody like to wait? Have you ever been in a pit and you prayed and seemed like the answer didn't come and you got discouraged and you didn't pray anymore? Hello? Here's what the psalmist said. He said, "This is how the Lord delivered me. I prayed and I waited patiently upon the Lord." Oh, God, teach us how to be patient. That's a hard one, because we live in a world that we want it, and we want it right now. And the Lord sometimes say, "Look, I got an answer for you, but just hang on. Not yet. Not the right time. Just hold on." I have always said the Lord is never late, but I have always said right behind it, He's missed a lot of opportunities to be early. Amen. Now, that's according to my schedule. But I'm going to tell you something. God will never, amen, cease to amaze you if you just simply wait upon the Lord. And in His time, He makes you turn around and look back and just marvel at how it all come down. The psalmist said, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined His ear unto me." Amen. The first key to receiving what's written in the pit is waiting upon God. The Bible says in Isaiah 40 and 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Psalms 27 and verse number 14 declares, "Wait upon the Lord, be of good courage, and He will strengthen thine heart." Wait, I say, he says, upon the Lord. Psalms 37 and verse number 34 said, "Wait upon the Lord and keep His way, and He will exalt thee to inherit the land." Amen. What is he telling us? Sometimes we have to learn how to wait upon God. Amen. And while we're in the pit, we can either fuss or read the writing on the wall and trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of us don't like to praise and wait upon the Lord. Amen. We don't like to wait upon God. We want to praise and then get released immediately. Right? Well, sometimes we got to just praise and wait. Praise and wait. God promised Abraham a son. Said, "You're going to supernaturally have a son." And you know how long Abraham waited? 24 years. For the promised son. But he got him.
Why? Because he staggered not at the promise of God, considering his own body to be dead. He still believed that God was able to do what God said he would do. And 24 years later, he got it. Sometimes we have to wait upon the Lord. And the second key to their victory is the Bible said they cried, that he cried unto the Lord. Look at verse 1 again. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He heard my calling out to him. The second key to, amen, to their deliverance is they cried unto the Lord. Psalms chapter 34 and verse number 15. This is what the Bible said, that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ear is open unto their cry. Verse number 17 of that same 34th chapter said, the righteous cry, and the Lord hears them and delivers them out of all of their troubles. Hey, I'm here to tell you this morning, wait upon the Lord, call upon the Lord. Amen. Read the writing on the wall and be encouraged, and God will deliver you. Amen. Jeremiah 33 and 3 says, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. God is looking and longing to hear the cry of our heart. And when we cry unto the Lord and we wait upon the move of God, amen, let me just tell you, you may be finding yourself in a pit with no way out, but I encourage you this morning to look around and check out the writing on the wall. Call upon the name of the Lord in faith, and then wait upon the move of God. Wait upon the hand of God. And the same God that brought others out, amen, will bring you out if your whole family fast the profession of your faith without wavering. For he is, the Bible said, amen, he is faithful who promised. Hallelujah. Let God this morning bring you up out of the miry clay. Let him set your feet upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Let him put a new song in your mouth. A song of praise and a song of glory and a song of hope. A song of joy in your heart this morning. Instead of looking at the impossibility of the pit, look and read the handwriting on the wall. And know that the same God that gave them the victory can give you the victory as well. This morning, what is written in the pit? Amen. One last thing you might find written on the wall of the pit. I am God and I change not. I'm able to do exceeding and abundant above all that you ask or think, according to the power that works in you. Amen. Read the writing on the wall this morning. Be encouraged. Don't allow the enemy to make you feel desperate and helpless and hopeless. Because if you are in the pit of sin, Jesus is the answer. If you are in the pit of despair, Jesus is your deliverance. If you are in the pit of a fiery trial, amen, there's somebody in the furnace with you. He will not leave you and he will not forsake you. Amen. He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Hallelujah. What's written in the pit? Our God is able. Our God is able. Bow your heads, please. Amen. He's able to save from the uttermost. He's able to save to the uttermost. He's able to deliver and set the captive free. He's able this morning to step down right in the middle of your trouble, right in the middle of your trial, and be the encouragement and be the deliverance that you need. Amen. Heavenly Father, this morning, oh God, we come to you acknowledge that you are God and that you are mighty and that there is none other. This morning, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the ancient hieroglyphics, the ancient graffiti. We want to thank you for the testimonies of the past. We want to thank you for those that have gone on before. Thank you for their deliverance. But, oh God, thank you for causing us to understand that you are the same. And that through their deliverance, you speak to us that you desire to deliver us. I pray this morning, Lord, for those who are sitting here in this congregation under the sound of my voice. If they find themselves in a pit of sin, a pit of despair, a trial, a test, that, Father, as they patiently wait upon you and call upon your name and encourage themselves with the written word, that, oh God, you will come through on their behalf, that you will minister to their lives, that you will encourage them and that you will strengthen them and that you will bless them, I pray. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed, and I ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Are you here this morning and you find yourself in a pit of unrighteousness, a pit of sin? You know there are things in your life that shouldn't be there. You know that you have done things in your life that aren't square with God. You feel the tender nudge of the Holy Spirit saying, I'm your answer. Jesus Christ is your answer. This morning, read the writing on the wall. He's able to save. He's able to deliver. Are you here this morning and you'd slip up your hand and say, preacher, that's me. God sees your hand and your hand. Maybe you're here this morning and you would be willing to say, Lord, I have been in a pit of despair. And this morning I call upon your name and I read the writing on the wall. And if you can deliver Daniel, and if you can deliver the three Hebrew children and Paul and Silas, then God, you're able to deliver me. Amen. Say, preacher, that's me. Yes. God bless you. Amen. I see those hands. Maybe you're here this morning and you are in the midst of a fiery trial. Don't lose faith. Don't lose heart. You're not alone. You're not alone. Amen. Stand to your feet all over the building this morning, would you please? Amen. Those of you that lifted your hands, I want to ask you to come and stand here in front of the house of the Lord. Let me pray with you. Just step out into the nearest aisle next to the nearest vacant place. Just come and stand right here. We're just going to share a prayer together. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Let me obey the Lord.